The Ebola outbreak in West Africa has put international airlines on notice that they could be carriers of something other than tourists right now. British Airways suspended flights to Sierra Leone and Liberia yesterday, and leaders from the region have new concerns about their neighbors.
With intercontinental flights, all you need is a flight to the U.S. or to Europe so that you have a world crisis, a total crisis.
That's Senegalese President Macky Sall speaking through an interpreter at the U.S. African Leaders Summit in Washington, D.C. The summit has been distracted by the Ebola crisis, which, while contained for the moment in Liberia and Sierra Leone, as far as health officials can tell, it may be about to break out of its ground zero. The Sierra Leone government announced it will deploy 750 soldiers throughout the country to enforce the isolation of infected patients. There are more than 1,600 reported cases in the infected area. Richard Preston, writer for The New Yorker and author of the 90s bestseller The Hot Zone, has been inquiring about the conditions in the worst affected clinics, and what he's hearing brings to mind images we haven't seen since the plague in the 14th century.
There have been reports of dead bodies being abandoned in the streets of the city of Monrovia, the capital of Liberia. In Monrovia, the hospitals now are jammed with Ebola patients, and they are turning away all new patients, including people who may have Ebola already, and even women in childbirth. So the people who are sick are actually leaving the city. They're going out into the countryside in search of faith healers and magic, since the medical care system is in, you know, what appears to be a state of collapse. You know, in a medical sense, this is a war zone. The doctors and nurses are taking casualties. They are dying. The ones on the front lines are getting Ebola virus. They're working in clinics in absolutely horrifying conditions. I mean, the descriptions that I'm hearing are just unspeakable. Imagine a clinic in, let's say, a rural setting in Africa where you have this makeshift building, you have walls are made of plastic film for biocontainment, and then inside there you have 30 people with Ebola virus on little cots jammed together, and one doctor in a spacesuit, in a biohazard suit, and one nurse in a spacesuit. And then patients are falling out of bed, they become disoriented, and they land on the floor. And the floor, I hate to say it, is covered with absolutely every substance that can come out of the human body.
I mean, every bodily fluid. I mean, it's basically a swill on the floor, and that is how Ebola is transmitted, bodily fluids.
Yes, and you can't get full protection in an environment that is that contaminated with Ebola virus. All it takes is just a few particles in your bloodstream, and you could be a goner. So, for example, it's thought that one way that Ebola gets into the human body is through the eyelids of the eyes. If you get a little bit of contamination or virus on your fingertips, and then you rub your eyelid, the virus can pass directly into the tissues, the moist tissues of the eyelid, and then from there enter your bloodstream. So it's just awfully hard for the even experienced hardcore professionals who have dealt with Ebola virus for years to stay safe.
What do epidemiologists say about what's happened? Is this a cycle because Ebola is native to this part of the world, or is this a jump on some level, some fundamentally new sort of move, domain for the Ebola virus?
Well, you know, Ebola virus right now is pulling some big surprises. First of all, this is the largest number of cases by far that have ever been seen in an outbreak. Second, the virus is now out of control. The doctors have lost contact with the cases, with the people who have Ebola virus. And finally, we've never seen Ebola virus in cities before, where it has the potential perhaps to do major damage. I think one great concern is what happens if Ebola virus gets into one of the really big cities in Africa, such as Lagos. So there is potential here for the outbreak to continue. And one of the things that I've been asking about and thinking about is Ebola virus actually in the process of making a permanent jump into the human species? You know, before there have been these outbreaks and then it dies down. But it's the desire of a virus, if you can speak of that, to become immortal. And a virus can immortalize itself by entering the human species and then just continuing a permanent chain of human-to-human transmission on and on ad infinitum. The doctors are saying that they doubt that could happen. But, you know, you think about polio virus. Polio, there's a great vaccine for it. And even so, polio has not been eradicated. So could the same thing happen with Ebola? My best guess right now is that the doctors are going to beat this thing back. But it's going to be a long, bloody conflict. It's going to extend for months and maybe longer than that.
Are they going to beat it back by using procedures that are already established in terms of dealing with something like this? Or is this something they're going to be basically writing as they go along? We're in a new territory.
That's a great question, and I'm really wondering it myself. I think that they're going to gain experience, and I think that they're going to try everything. And so often in major outbreaks of disease, and this happened in the old days when smallpox was still circulating on the planet, the epidemiologists tried various different methods and strategies for encircling smallpox virus, getting it under control, and then putting out a fire, basically. So, you know, it's very possible that the epidemiologists, the doctors, are going to be trying new things. But I think it always boils down to the classic shoe leather techniques that epidemiologists have been using for more than a century. And that is identify who is sick, figure out how it's being transmitted and where it's going, know the enemy, and then isolate the people who are sick. It doesn't require high tech. It requires lots of field workers, people on the ground. But right now, there just simply aren't enough doctors. The doctors are stretched paper thin. And as I said, some of them are dying.
Richard Preston is the author of The Hot Zone and a writer for The New Yorker. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you, John.
You come to The New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.